this time, I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of John. The book of John, and they're going to be continuing on in our series this morning of the book of John. And I preached a introductory message to this book last week, and we started the series, but we started at the end of the book, amen? And there was just some truths there that the Lord laid on my heart, and some things that I believe were very, very important in order to understand this book. But this morning we're going to be in John chapter 1 and looking at verse 1 through 5. And there's a lot of truth, of course, all throughout the Bible, but especially here in John chapter 1. And I want us to look at this passage together. And I'm going to read it slowly this morning. And we're going to talk about some truths that we see throughout this passage. And as we look at these truths, understand through these verses that we're looking at is speaking of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as I read this here, try in your mind to point out exactly what it's talking about when it speaks of the Lord, but then also in all the ways that it mentions him. So here in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, the Bible says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." In every one of those verses, we see the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned there. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to meet with us in a special way. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the opportunity we have, dear God, to join together here. And what a wonderful group we have that's gathered here this morning. Lord, I pray that we would see exactly what you would have us to learn from your word today. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me today. Lord, that I would be out of the way and that our eyes would be on you. Lord, it doesn't matter what I say. I'm a mere human being. But Lord, everything hinges upon what you have said and what you want us to do today. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. If there's anyone here that has never trusted you, I pray they'd come to know you today. And Lord, that they would leave here knowing their eternity is settled in heaven. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us and draw us closer to you. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, notice here in the book of John, of course, as I mentioned last week, as we were looking at the book of John, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all four of those men were used as penmen for what is considered to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of John that we're studying here. It's the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John just wrote that down in this book for us. So here in John, we see in the very beginning of this book here, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now notice that word that we see there is a capital W. And it says, "And the Word," another capital W, "was with God, and the Word," another capital W, "was God." This is speaking of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the Word that is being spoken of. Notice verse 2, the same what? The same Word, the same one that we're speaking of in verse 1. In verse 2, it says, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him." Who? The Word. "And without him," speaking of the Word again, "was not anything made that was made. In him," speaking of the Word, the very Son of God, "was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light," speaking of the Word again, "shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not? You see, all through these verses, it is completely centered around, just like the rest of Scripture, centered around the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This book begins with pointing people to Christ. It doesn't start with who the penman was or even who the book is addressed to. It starts out with the Word of God. It starts out with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we study this book, we're going to read about many wonderful works that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. We're going to read of miracles and how he delivered certain ones and how he healed people and how he provided and all of those different things. We're going to read of those things. Many people that Jesus helped, but by the end of this book, it's going to do us no good to only know the miracles if we don't know the Savior. We can know all of these things that the Bible says about the Lord, but if we don't know him, it's just a head knowledge. It's not a heart knowledge. You see, there are many religions today. There are many people that are going to point you to a certain church or a certain belief system or a certain book or a certain man of time gone past. But we need to understand the Bible is not about some religion. The Bible is about a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible is about. If we go through this series on Sunday mornings, or if we sit through a single sermon and we don't know Jesus better, personally understand, we have missed it. It's important for us to understand that the Bible is not given to us so that we will know more about God. Oh, that's going to be a given. As you read the Bible, you will know more about God. But the Bible is not given to us so that we know more about God. It's so that we know God better. That's why we have it. So with that said, I want to preach a message this morning entitled this, "But who is he to me?" Who is he to me? Now, speaking of he, we're speaking of the Word. We're speaking of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who we're talking about here this morning. And understand this this message and all of these messages throughout the book of John, they are going to be given to us as we tear this book apart. We're going to see that everyone is to point us to Christ, but not so that we just know more about him, but so that we know him. It will do us no good standing before the Lord saying, "Well, my parents knew you as their Savior. Well, my grandparents were saved. Well, I went to a church that preached the Bible. Well, I gave this amount of money to the church." Those things are not going to amount to a hill of beans when you're standing before God. The question is whether or not your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whether or not you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. There's an awful lot of people that know the Lord as their Savior, and I praise the Lord for that. I was saved as a 7-year-old boy. That's when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. There are an awful lot of people who are relying upon the biblical knowledge of someone else. Was Christ a great teacher? Yes, he was. Is he the Son of God? Yes, he is. Is he a part of the Trinity? Yes, he is. Did he perform these miracles? Yes, he did. Did he die on the cross of Calvary? Yes, he did. Did he rise from the grave? Yes, he did. Did he die for everyone? He did that. He paid for all of our sins. But I'm not preaching this message this morning so that we look at what Christ did for others. I'm preaching this message so that we come face to face with what he did for us. Who is he to me? Who is he to me? It's my desire that we look at the beginning of this book of John and we see the relationship that Christ holds, but also ask ourselves the question, but who is he to me? And here's why, because it's a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior. First of all, I want us to notice this morning Christ's relationship to God. Christ's relationship to God. Look at verse 1 of our passage. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this relationship that we're talking about here in Christ's relationship to God, it's so important because it proves the deity of Christ. Christ is the very Son of God. Christ is deity. Christ is God. This relationship that Christ holds with his Father, the God Almighty. Understand, this relationship is what separates the Christ of the Bible from all other religions. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we read here in this verse, in the beginning was the Word. Now, listen to those words again that I just read there. In the beginning was the Word. It doesn't say in the beginning is the Word. It says in the beginning was the Word. Why? Because God didn't start at the beginning of man's calendar. Because God didn't start when man can look back and they can follow all of these dates and times and all of that. Understand, when man's calendar started, God already was. God always has been. God didn't start at some point, because if God started at some point, understand, God would have needed a creator. No, God always has been. God is the creator of everything. That's who God is. And the Bible tells us here, in the beginning was the Word. The Son of God always has been as well, and always will be. The Son of God is the revealer of God. Look at John chapter 1 in verse 18. Notice the Bible says this, no man hath seen God at any time. Notice, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The Son of God is declaring his Father. He's declaring the Son of God. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11, Christ says, I am the beginning and the end. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first. He is the last. And Alpha and Omega, that is the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Christ says, I am everything. It's like him saying this in the English, I am A to Z in everything you need. In the middle of that, that's who I am for you. I'm everything. If we lived our lives as though Christ was everything, our lives would be a whole lot different. But too often we cry out to God only when we need help. Only when we think the need is large enough to bring it to God. Christ is everything for us. He's everything for you, and he's everything for me. What he's teaching us here is this, that God always has been and he always will be, but he's everything in between. Anything you need today, whatever struggle you came into the house of God with this morning, understand, God is the answer for that struggle. You may say, well, I just don't know how I'm going to get through this battle. God's the answer for you. Well, I just don't know that I'm ever going to be able to get through this or get over this. Understand, God is the answer. You just have to turn to him. You see, that's what I'm talking about with it being personal. It does you no good in your battle for me to know God. You need to know God. I'll pray for you. We can pray one for another. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Praying's a wonderful thing. But this is about a personal relationship with God we're talking about today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But who is he to you? He always has been. But have you trusted him? Notice in the beginning was the Word. The Word, speaking of Christ, the Son of God, he was there. What do we know about the beginning of time? All we know is about creation. We don't know anything before that except for this three-letter word, God. That's all we know. All we know is that God always has been, and at some point, God said, I'm going to create, and God created everything that we have today. Why did he do that? Because he's God. Why did he do it this way? Because he wanted to do it that way. Why does my life have these things involved in it? Ask God about that. You see, God is in control. This world that we live in is not here because of evolution. It's not here because of some big bang that happened. It happened because God created it. Understand, if a big bang could put all of this into motion, then using that logic, you could go to some junkyard. You could place a bomb in the middle of the junkyard in the midst of all of these cars. You could make it explode. And when all the smoke clears and all the dust has settled, there'd be a brand new Ferrari sitting in the middle of the junkyard. If the big bang would work. But it's nonsense. God created everything. And who was there? The very Son of God was there. He always has been, and He always will be. People would say, well, that's ridiculous. There's no way that that a car could form out of that. I know, and it's just as foolish for us to believe that all of this came from an explosion. It came because God created it. There was nothing, and then there was everything. Well, what happened between there? God. God happened. Look back at the that word there when it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, as you can already tell, if you have a 30-second conversation with me, I am not an English major, amen? I'm still trying to figure out this language. But the reality is this, when you look at this word was that's found in this verse, it carries with it continuous action. Meaning that's not when it began, it has always been that way. And it means it will never end, it will always be. The Bible says that God changes not. You know, everything in this world changes. Everything. We change our minds. We change everything. What used to be so in this world, we would say, well, following this pattern that we followed, there were some things that used to be so, and they're not today. Why? Things have changed. But God has never changed. God has always been the same. The Bible says that He changes not. You see, this does away with the argument that Christ was a created being. People seem to think that Christ was created as a man, but that just is not true. The Son of God, He left heaven. He was born of a virgin here on earth. He was crucified on the cross of Calvary as the payment for our sins. He was placed in a tomb. He rose from the dead after 3 days and is now back in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God. And you may say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so. And the Bible is the authority. Everything that the Bible says that was going to come to pass up to this point, it's came to pass. Everything that it says is going to come to pass, it's going to come to pass. How do you know that? Because that's what God intended. Because God always has been and always will be. There are many different Bible versions out there, and what many of them will do is they will remove any mentions of Christ being identified as God. You know, they'll remove verses such as this, I and my Father are one. They remove that. Why? Because it's Satan's goal to remove the deity of Christ from our minds. Why? Because if he can cause mankind to believe that Christ is not the Savior of the world, then why would mankind ever turn to Christ? You see, Satan doesn't want that to happen. Satan wants mankind to just continue on the way that it is. But we serve a God who loves us so much that He inspired and preserved the Word of God. We have it translated into the English language for us so that we can know that though we're sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. He came and He shed His blood for you and for me. He did that. He was crucified. He is in heaven. The Bible says so. Just as God always has been and always will be, Christ, the Son of God, always has been and always will be as well. Many of these Bible versions, they will change that verse that we read there in John 1:1. Notice our Bible here in the King James Version Bible. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know what many versions do? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. There's a big difference there, isn't there? I was talking to some individuals that stopped by the house about a week and a half ago, and they were here to tell me about the kingdom of God. And let them talk for a little while, and they read a passage of scripture, and I said, well, that sounds a lot different than what my Bible says. And I said, could you do me a favor and just turn to John 1:1 for me? And the one started to turn there, and the other one stopped him. Why? Because the other one knew exactly where I was going. And after going back and forth over and over and over again, the one actually ended up quoting the verse rather than reading the verse. And I said, why is there an A there? And this person told me, well, that doesn't really matter. I said, oh, it does matter. I said, because if Christ is just one of many gods, then I can trust any of them to go to heaven based on that. Well, as long as you trust in a God. I said, the God that I serve is the God, not a God. They continued to try to convince me that, well, Christ can't be God because Christ died. I said, Christ is alive forevermore. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for me. They didn't want to stay and talk any longer after that. But the reality is this: Satan's plan is to take our minds off of who God is. He doesn't want us to believe that there's a God in heaven that loves us. He wants us to see that God, well, he's just some old man in the universe somewhere. No, he's so much more than that. All I can do is tell you who the God of the Bible is and tell you who God is to me. But you have to ask yourself the question, but who is God to me? Who is he? As we study the Bible, we find that Christ is the focal point. You find that the passages are pointing us to the cross. You can read a passage somewhere, and in that passage, you will read in word or principle that it's pointing to the cross. It's pointing to the Savior. It's pointing to the Son of God. And we see there Christ's relationship to God. Now, I want you to notice, second of all, this morning, this: not only Christ's relationship to God, we know he's the Son of God. It says, I and my Father are one. That's who he is. But notice this: Christ's relationship to the galaxies. You may say, wait a second here. I thought we established that this all didn't happen just because of some Big Bang theory. That's not what I'm talking about here. Notice Christ's relationship to the galaxies. What I'm talking about is this: everything that we can see in creation and everything that we cannot see, it's there because of God. That's why it's there. Look at verse 3 of our passage. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That word all at the beginning of verse 3 is a pretty self-explanatory word, is it not? All. What does that mean? That means all. That means everything. We're reading here that Christ is the Creator God. We read in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we jump to verse 3, speaking of Christ, it says all things were made by him. You may say, well, wait a second, preacher, the book of Genesis, all the way back in Genesis 1:1, it says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Isn't that a contradiction there? No, it's not at all. What it does is it proves to us that Christ is God. You say, explain it to me how it can be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three of them are one, but yet all three of them are separate. Explain that to me. I can't. I can just trust the Bible by faith. And I can see that all three of them are on the same mission. All three of them have the same mind. And all three of them love you and I. All of them. You can't explain God. If you could explain God, he wouldn't be God. You see, it's impossible for us as mankind to understand all there is to know about God. People will try to convince you that, well, Christ was just some long-haired, blue-eyed, sissified man, but that isn't how the Bible portrays him at all. You know, the Bible portrays Christ as powerful. Look at this verse that we just read. All things were made by him. That speaks of power there, does it not? He's powerful. How powerful? Well, look around. He created it all. Every bit of it. That's what Christ did. He is all powerful because he is God. He is the Son of God. He is the creator. Some of us know this illustration here about the scientist who is telling God, well, God, I can create anything that, that you can create. And God says, okay, create a man. Scientist walks over and he reaches down and he grabs a handful of dirt. And God says, no. He says, make your own dirt. I made that. You can't use something that I created to create something out of nothing. You have to use nothing. We all say, well, yeah, it's impossible to create something out of nothing. It is, unless you're God. The Bible says that God created it with his word. He just said, let there be, and there was. That's who our God, that's who our God is. Only God can create something from nothing. That word made, which is found in this verse here in verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that were made. That comes from the Greek word genomehi, which means this. It means to be made from nothing. That's what it means. Well, yeah, God created all of this, but I'm sure he had the materials that he needed. I mean, he could see everything, so he wanted to put earth together. So he took a little bit from here and a little bit from there. That's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches us that it all came from nothing. There was darkness everywhere. And God said, let there be. And there was. So he is the creator God. Yet too often we go through life as though we have to figure it out on our own. You know, you don't have to go through life figuring out the answers to life's questions on your own. And if you try to figure it out on your own, you're going to be lost. You're going to be hopeless. There's going to be no peace in your life. You're going to spend your life chasing all kinds of things, and yet you're not ever going to find where hope can be found. Why? Because you're looking for it everywhere else. When God says, I'm right here, I've been here since before the beginning of mankind. I always have been, and I always will be. He says, just turn to me. You know, as we look at this passage here in verse 3, it tells us that all things were made by him, but then it takes it a step further. It says this, and without him was not anything made that was made. He says, not only did God make everything, but just in case we didn't get that, everything that you see that's made, it was made by God. Everything. You know what this verse doesn't mention? As you look through verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I don't see anywhere in that passage where it speaks of us, or speaks to us of man's knowledge, of what we would consider man's wisdom. Nowhere in that passage do we see, and God counseled with mankind and asked what would be best. No, God just did it. Because God knew exactly what he wanted. It simply causes us to look at creation, look at everything that is around you. Look at the sun and the moon and the stars and all of the beauty on this earth. Look at the grass and look at the trees. Look at the flowers that are blooming. Look at the intricate details all around you, and bring all of that into your mind. Think of all of these things. This time with springtime, we see the blooms coming from the trees, and we see a seed that's going into the ground, and it's going to spring up, and we're going to have fruit and vegetables and those types of things from that. And when we look at all of those things, everything that we see is there for the same reason this passage is there. Why? To point us to God. To point us to Christ. So that we can look around us and we can say, all of this happened because God said, let there be. And the same God that was powerful enough to do that, the same God that sent his son to die on the cross, that same God did it because he loves me. So we can see Christ's relationship to God. Yeah, he's the Son of God. We can see all of these things around us. He's the Creator. But who is he to me? Who is he? Have I accepted Christ as my personal Savior? Who is he to me? And that leads us to the last thing this morning. We talked about his relationship to God. We talked about his relationship to the galaxy, speaking of all creation. Now, I want us to see here also his relationship to the gospel. His relationship to the gospel. Look at verse 4 and 5. In him was life. Now, that word was doesn't mean life was only there at one point. Remember when we talked about up there in verse 2, the same was in the beginning. Remember that word was, it's speaking of continuous action. Therefore, just as life was in Christ, life is still in Christ. That's the only place that it can be found. Notice, in him was life, and the life was the light, or and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Notice what the penman has just done here. He pointed out that Christ is God, that Christ is the Creator, and now he brings it down to a personal level. He takes it from looking only at heaven and seeing God and the Son of God. And he takes it and he points us to creation, and he says everything around you here was made by him as well. And he takes it and he puts the mirror in front of us. He says the same God that is in heaven and the same Creator God, he says, look in the mirror. He can be the God to you as well. And he desires to be. He desires to love you. He desires to care for you. He desires to have a relationship with you. And he takes us into what we see here as the gospel, speaking of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the way that he came and he died for us. We see here, of course, in this world, we see that all around this world, there's religions, there's churches, and there's people who have all sorts of ideas about the Bible. They've came up with many different ways to heaven, and many would say, well, you have to come to this church to be saved, or you have to go here to be saved, or you have to take this course in order to be saved, or you have to live this way. You have to follow this man. The Bible says, speaking of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he says, I am the way. I am the way. Nobody else, no other place. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There are not many ways to heaven. Understand that Muhammad cannot get you to heaven. The Muslim faith cannot get you there. Mary cannot get you to heaven. The priest and the Pope and the Catholic Church, they cannot get you there. The Presbyterians cannot get you there. The Methodists cannot get you there. The Bible Church cannot get you there. The Pentecostal Church cannot get you there. Christian Science and all of these things. You say, wait a second, you left out the Baptist Church. Are you saying they can get you there? No. The Baptist Church cannot get you to heaven. Only Christ can get you to heaven. That's it. Only in trusting in him. It doesn't say, I am the way and I can only be found through the Baptist Church. That's not what the Bible says. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are people who sit on church pews of all different religions and belief systems, if you will. They sit on those pews week in and week out, 50, 60, 70 years on the same church pew, and they die and go to hell. Why is that? Because a building cannot get you to heaven. It's only in trusting in Christ as your personal Savior. I love our church, but Grace Baptist Church can't get you to heaven. By God's grace, we'll continue to do what he's called us to do, and we'll tell people how to get to heaven. We'll tell them that the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We'll continue to tell people that it's not through Grace Baptist Church. The Lord says, I am the way. He says, I and the Father are one. The same God that loves us so much, he sent his son to die for us, to shed his blood and to rise from the grave. And all you have to do is trust in him. The Bible says that in him was life. The Bible says in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Understand when it says the wages of sin is death, and then it says, but the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life sounds a whole lot better than death, does it not? It's not saying that that our mortal body, this flesh that we walk around in, it's not saying that that will never die. It's talking about eternal life or eternal death. This is speaking of spiritual death or spiritual life. You can either live forever in heaven with God by trusting Christ as your personal Savior, or you can reject him and you can die and you can go to hell for all eternity. Those are the two choices. You cannot say, well, I'm going to reincarnate, or I'm going to go to purgatory or whatever it may be. No, the Bible says there's only two places you can go. You're either going to heaven by trusting Christ, or you're going to hell by rejecting him. That's it. Nowhere else. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the Bible says. Speaking of the hell and also heaven, we know the Bible talks about how a rich man and Lazarus, both of them passed away, and Lazarus was carried up into Abraham's bosom, but the rich man was placed in hell. You know where Lazarus still is today? He's still in heaven. You know where the rich man is today? He's still in hell. Not because God didn't love him. Not because God didn't send his son to die for him. But because he rejected Christ. Did he reject Christ because he was rich? No, he rejected Christ because he wanted to follow his own way. Because he wanted to follow what man said. Because he wanted to follow what he thought was best. But why did he go to heaven? Because it wasn't about what God, about what man said. It was about what God said. He trusted in Christ. He said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I don't want to go to hell. I know you paid for my sins. Lord, I trust you as my Savior. He prayed to Christ. Death is a product of sin. Life is a product of salvation. And salvation is only through Christ. Notice there in verse 5, it says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This is speaking of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin. He is light. He came into this world of darkness. He lived for 33 and a half years here on earth. He was the light here on earth. But what's the Bible say? And the darkness comprehended it not. Well, if the Lord Jesus Christ was here today and he walked into this room, I'd trust him as my Savior. Not if you haven't trusted him already, you wouldn't. Because he's just as alive in heaven today as you would comprehend him to be if he walked into this room. He's alive. But many are dead in their trespasses and sin. Not because they haven't heard the truth, but because they have not trusted Christ as their Savior. There are many religious people who have attended church their whole lives, yet they've never trusted Christ. They're on their way to hell, not because the light hasn't come, but because they haven't accepted that light. Some have never heard. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ presented in this way, hearing that you're a sinner, as the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death. And this is the first time that you've heard that, look, I'm a sinner before God, and I know that because of my sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says also, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel. Can I encourage you this morning? Do not reject him today. Make it personal to you. Do not leave this place not trusting Christ as your personal Savior. Don't reject him. Don't reject the light. The Bible says that the darkness comprehended it not. That means that it rejected it. It said, I don't want that light here. Anytime we refuse to trust Christ as our Savior, we're doing the exact same thing. Trust Him as your Savior today. Maybe you're here and you've heard the gospel given clearly before, but you've rejected it over and over. You've tried to get to heaven some other way. You've trusted in religion. You've trusted in what man has said. You've trusted in what a church has said is the way to heaven. You've tried to live a good life. You've tried to live a moral life. You've tried to do all you can, but you have not found peace in those things. You've tried to be a good person, yet you've came up empty. Can I urge you this morning, trust Christ today. Do not continue rejecting Him. Peace can only be found in Christ. And I want us to notice this morning, not one time have I said anything about salvation being anything to do with our works. Well, as long as you live a certain way, you'll go to heaven. No, it's not what the Bible says. There in the book of Romans, book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10, it tells us exactly what a person has to do to go to heaven. And it doesn't even mention living a good life. What's it mention? Well, it says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Preacher, is it really that simple? It is. And I praise the Lord it's that simple. But wait a second. It doesn't say that I have to do all of these things to keep my salvation. No. It's a promise from God that if you cry out to Him, He'll save you. It's a promise from God that if you accept Him as your personal Savior, you will have a home in heaven. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him, this is the believing we're talking about. Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say as long as they continue to live a certain way. It's a promise from God. You call on Him, He'll save you. That's what the Bible says. Well, that sounds too easy. It's easy, and I praise the Lord it's so easy. Have you trusted Christ today? Understand, I'm not here promoting religion. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Religion has sent more people to hell than anything else. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with Christ. It's about realizing that you're a sinner, and because of your sin, you deserve hell for all eternity. And that is not me belittling you. Understand, I had to come to the conclusion. I had to come to the point where I realized I am a sinner. I don't deserve heaven. But I praise the Lord that He made it simple so I could trust Him as my Savior. Christ loves us. We don't need to go to hell. You can go to heaven by recognizing the fact that Christ, the very Son of God, died for your sins. He shed His blood as payment for your sins. He gave you a way to escape hellfire when you die. But you must accept Him as your personal Savior. So let me ask us this question today. As we've heard about God or Christ's relationship with God, as we've heard about Christ's relationship with the galaxies and creation, as we've heard about Christ's relationship with the gospel in that He came and He died for sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the Bible says. He gave us a way to go to heaven. And it's only through that way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, the Bible says. So we see all of those relationships. Well, let's ask ourselves, but who is He to me? Who is He? If you've trusted in Christ today, understand He's saved your soul. But that doesn't mean we're off the hook here either. Well, this is a message just given the gospel, so yeah, I can just check out of this one for a while. There's an awful lot of believers that are not living as though God is their all in all. There's an awful lot of believers that are going through life searching for hope, and they seem to be pouring things into a bag with holes in it. not living the joy of the Lord, walking around as though they're weak. The Bible says that He is our strength. But you have to make Him your strength, and I have to make Him my strength. He is our peace, but you have to make Him your peace, and I have to make Him my peace. Well, you just don't understand what I'm going through. But what I do understand is Christ is. And Moses went to Egypt. Moses asked God before he went to Egypt, he said, when they ask me who sent me, what do I say? God says, you just tell them, I am. I am what? Anything you need. You need a Savior? God says, I'm your Savior. You need hope? God says, I'm your hope. You need peace? God says, I'm your peace. You need light? God says, I'm your light. Anything you need, that's who God is. But who is He to me?